And I told him about, you know, the Kennedy thing. They're trying to get the Kennedys up to Galway. So I told him about Honey Fitz that lived in Ooridge, you know, before he went to America and got the crock of gold and that. And it was Tom Prendeville that wrote the story. So I rang, I gave him Tom Prendeville's number and on that. And I asked him, I said to him, you know, because I know him, and I said that, you know, the Irish Republican Brotherhood weren't in that big event in Galway University on 1916. And I said that the Irish Republican Brotherhood weren't even invited. And he'd have, you know, he said he'd get on to one of his, the people in the county. Now, there's the mayor of Galway, and then there's the mayor of County Galway. And his office is in the county. He was getting somebody about it. And I eventually then, I rang, what's the name of the Galway Bay Radio, and I know that person there because I've spoken to them before. And I told them that, you know, they had this big event, which they were all, I think, going to cover tomorrow. And I said, well, the Irish Republican Brothers weren't invited. And I got on to University, UCG, and the person I know there is Garrod O'Toole. I know the other fellow too, Nulligan Weirla, who wrote the Flight of the Earls from there. He's one of these. But anyway, Garrod is retired. I spoke to the secretary, who's Helena, and she didn't seem to know a lot about it, and she put me in touch with Dr. Alan Ahern, and he said he's speaking on Friday, but he didn't organize it. And he put me on to Sean Crossan, and eventually Sean Crossan just rang me now to say that, oh, it's an international event, all this. But I said, you know, surely if you're speaking on these papers, you know, and you're having a conference on 1916, that you should consult the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They should be invited. I said, you know, six times this year we have been snubbed. I said, we can't go on like that, that everybody's claiming that they founded the state and all rewriting our history. But anyway, he talked anyway, and he said, more or less, I'm sorry, he didn't say, would you please come along or anything like that. So that's where it is at the moment.
Hmm. Did he say?
I wouldn't say he even knew, and I said, you know, this thing that we've been airbrushed out that they...
No, they know, Billy. They know.
Huh?
They know.
It's just airbrushing us out.
Yeah, no, they do know. They do know.
And I said about Michael D. Higgins, and you know, I said on Easter Sunday. They're doing that deliberately.
Yeah.
They want to take over 2016 and pretend that they're the sovereign government and they're this and they're that. And, but anyway...
Okay, just let me check. Okay. No response from the emails, no.
No.
Two automatic responses, but no actual responses.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's starting tomorrow, and it's going on Saturday. And there's all these academics from all over Europe, and that is a European thing. But how would the European thing be organized?
So what did the European... There's revolutions going on in Turkey right now. And Spain, and they think they can come over here and tell us about what happened here.
But you're rewriting the 1916. Isn't that what they're doing?
And that's what they're attempting, yeah.
And isn't that what you know that Neil Jordan? I mean, he's going to that. He did that film, a propaganda film on Michael Collins. Michael Collins. When you read that book, and I mean, I know Michael Collins said very little. Right in the War of Independence. He was a tough cookie, I can tell you, and that's what he was employed. And he was employed by the Irish Republican Brotherhood. Collins was paid for all these things, and it's like these things about De Valera. De Valera was the one who caused the split. He caused it in America, and that was done.
Sorry, Billy, just go back there for a second. Did you say that they were all paid by the IRB?
They were paid by the IRB. They were all on the staff of the IRB,
right?
And were paid. It came out of our pocket, I can tell you. And you see that Pierce Beasley and all those, all that printing and all that, we paid for all that. If you think that these were great volunteers, that they did and that they did, had their hand out for money. And it's like De Valera, that's wrong in America, all right, it was the Oath of Allegiance. But that was set up, do you remember that book you said again yesterday about that American fella?
John Tory.
Yeah, the spy.
Yeah.
That was, if people knew, had the facts today, I told you that Owl Atkinson, you know, he got him off. They were very powerful landlord family here, and very powerful in England. They were the ones who got him off. And there's no question about it. The British government used De Valera from the day they took him off. They used him. That's why they kept him alive. And they used him. And they used him to split the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And he was so bitter about the Irish Republican Brotherhood. He maintained, oh, secret organized. Then he was trying to pretend he wasn't a member. And then he was trying to pretend this. Because he split them. And he split them in America. That's where he split them. That's where the split came from. And you know, the oath of allegiance to the Crown of England, all that. You can see it when you see what happened and you see...
Well, to this day, Billy, I can't understand how those men went in there, into the Oireachtas, and took an oath of allegiance to a foreign crown. I can't understand
it. Yeah. And you'll see where the split happened. You'll see the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and they try and blame everything on us, and they did. And they used that... they said the mandate of the first and second Dáilearn.
No.
And you know... This is what this was the excuse, but they didn't. When it came to De Valera, could have changed a lot of that. He never did.
Did the mandate of the first Dáil, did that facilitate an oath of allegiance to a foreign king? I don't think so.
It didn't. It was the very opposite.
Exactly.
And this thing, when he went to the park, he was there as representative of the Crown of England. But you see, people hadn't the knowledge or the information. They didn't know that De Valera was illegitimate. They didn't know his father was Atkinson or Old Gubbins. They were the ones who claimed him as his it was Atkinson that claimed him. Do you think a young fella out of a poor cottage in Brewery, and I know where he lived, they had, wouldn't even say an acre of ground with the cottage? Because I know those people worked for us in those calls. That's where he came out of. Do you think an ignorant young fella like that could get to the top without somebody coaching him or educating him or putting...
Not a chance.
Hard work. Huh?
Not a chance.
And how did he do it then?
Yeah.
Atkinson was the one, and that's what... I tell you, that's Mrs. Wooldridge, I've forgotten the first name, she always said it, and she said it out to anyone. She never kept it up. And I told you, do you think that a young fellow like that, and he went to St Mungard College, he went in there to get he got a scholarship, and he was going in, he wanted to become a priest, and he wasn't allowed to become a priest because he was illegitimate. And if you were illegitimate in those days, you couldn't become a priest or a nun, and you couldn't have title to anything. You were outside all. you just didn't count. You couldn't vote, you wouldn't register for anything. You were just like a beast, a burden in the fields. That's all you were. That's the status you had. And you think that somebody like that... And see, just when it's predicated on lies and deception, that's what it ends up. And I remember the row when he went in for the presidency. He tried to pretend that he was going to change all that. And sure, he did nothing. He didn't. He was always sat in. And sure, I told you how many times I lost two farms of land because I wouldn't recognise him as being in the first Dáilearn. And, well, it was my father wouldn't. And now we were very friendly with him, but still he wanted that. And even to the very day, and even in Connemara, I was told, well, all your problems will be sorted out if you recognise De Valera as being in the first Dáilearn and the first president. He wasn't. He was the president in but he was... Was Cathal Brua was the first president, and he took over from Cathal Brua when he came back from America. But he was, and you will see.
How did that even happen, Billy? I mean, was there a?
How
did he supposedly take over from Cathal Brua? How did that transpire?
Cathal Brua just he stepped down, and as president, there was a big row. It all happened in America. You can read about it in that book.
No, I've read. Yeah, I just wondered on your perspective.
No, that's what happened. I mean, I know what happened in, and that's what split the Irish Republic. And ever since 1920, when that row in America over the Friends of Irish Freedom, Dermot Lynch and that Judge Cohandan and others, that separated. And it was money. It was money. And the Oath of Allegiance was what it was here, but there it was money. And there's no question about it. De Valera had robbed that money. I mean, people, I have met people people who went there on practically those coffin ships and slaved with nothing and still gave some of their wages every week for that fund in America. That's a fact. And people who wouldn't buy things here for the family they gave it and all that money to be robbed in the end. And that's what happened. And I remember when the peace and reconciliation process was starting in 1950, I remember the rows, and I remember the rows from America over that, and over the money. You know, all these people who got that money illegally. You know, and all that money, from what I can gather, it ended up in the coffers of the Crown of England. That's where it ended up, and that's where it was always destined to, and that's what it was all about, setting up the Oireachtas, just to make Ireland remunerative for the Crown of it, just as a sham corporation, as a sham provision. That's what it was about.
Yep.
But you see, if you said that...
They've done the same thing all over the world, Billy Day. Just globetrotting, that's what they do.
I agree with you. But the point is here, if you said that, I remember the night that Tim Pat Coogan said it on the Late Late Show, and somebody said to me, if he had said that even 3 years ago, or a year ago, he wouldn't have got out of the studio alive.
What did he say?
He said that De Valera was illegitimate.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
On the Late Late Show, that was the first, and that was part of that peace and reconciliation process. That was the first. That was where Sinn Féin, they demanded that, you know, for the peace process, that the truth would come out about what happened. And he said it, and there was consternation. Because up to then, people didn't. If people had known that De Valera was illegitimate when he was over in America, and what happened to us, he was totally schizophrenic. And when he went to America, he got such a big reception. He thought he was God. And that, it turned his whole head completely, what he could do with all these people. You know, that's what happened to him. And you'll see that, I see the account there on that. You know, very clearly written what happened to him in America.
Mm.
And he went to America. I told you he had a nervous breakdown after 1916. And he was in the jail, and he wasn't in a fit state. That's why they brought him to America. And they brought him to America and, basically, I suppose, to try and get him back to some sort of normality. But I mean, this is what we're relying on. My God, the whole thing is in the state. And look at what's going on in Galway University tomorrow, and that'll come out. But I think I should try and contact a few papers on that, shouldn't I?
I think so. I think that's the next. I think what I'll do is start emailing newspapers. You're sending your email to all the newspapers as well.
Yeah, because I said to that. John Crossan is his name. Do you want his number?
Please.
In case. That he's the one that rang me. He seems to be one of the organisers of this international conference. He's Sean Crossan, CROSSON. And he's 091-495-687.
Sorry, call that 091-495-687.
091-495-687.
041 or 091?
091.
Yep.
495.
Yep.
687.
Okay, got it.
And just as you'd have some sort of a reference to him, you know.
He's the actual organizer. You were told he was the organizer.
I was. I was told that he rang me to say, and he said, oh, so this is the academics and this was organized by an international academics last year, and they're all just reading their papers. And I said, it's the funny you're doing 1916, and the Irish Republican Brotherhood weren't even invited or consulted. And you could see that his face had, at that stage, he didn't know what to say. And I said, well, as you know, the Irish Republican Brotherhood have been snubbed 6 times this year, you know, and I explained about, you know, the sovereignty of the harps and all that. And I said you know, they founded the state, and there was no other state founded. And I said, with all these people now trying to take over, that they were all founded the state and that. And I said, you know, there's a protocol there for when you discuss 1916 and all those symbols, I said, of the state, they're all kept by the Irish Republican, but they're owned by them, and I said, and they keep them in trust for the sovereign citizens. And he was nearly dying at this stage, but he still didn't say, look, you're welcome to come down, or would you please come down and attend. So I wasn't going to volunteer anything, and he didn't. It was more or less just left at that, like, too bad, good luck now. And but I said to him, look, because Galway Bay Radio, they have contacted me on it, and Thomas Welby, he's the mayor of County Galway, and just to have a reference for him, you can put down a number for him. Is Thomas Welby, mayor of County Galway. He's, in other words, there's a mayor of the city of Galway and the county of Galway, and I know Thomas Welby. And Thomas is 087.
Yep.
2855676. And he's all right. And funny enough, isn't he, you know, the mayor of Dublin?
Yeah.
What's he, Murray O'Murray?
Nairse O'Murray.
Nairse O'Murray. He's actually from Spittle, and he's a friend. He's a friend of Thomas Welby.
Mm.
He said, I was invited up to the mayor. I said, you didn't come to us? And he said, because their term, with his term now, will be up at the end, sometime in June. And they're doing everything to try and get, you know, Honey Fitz, to get the Kennedys up to. So, and he's very friendly with, and I said to him, well, of course, he turned the sovereign seal for us in that. Because he also snubbed us in the thing, he didn't know. But he's actually from Spittle. And he's a great friend of his, because Spittle wouldn't be that far away from Oughterard, you know. And they'd all be in league with one another anyway. So that changes a whole lot of difference. So he'll be going out of office too one of the days, and we'll be left out. But I kept on saying about the protocol, you can't just use anything. I said that all these organizations are using it. This was the point I was making. And for themselves, claiming that they founded the state. And of course, that didn't happen. I looked at the article, too, on Peter Sutherland. He wrote on the Irish Times on Saturday about, and he said that the EU was ratified. It was never ratified by Dáil Éireann. And see the way they are. And that's in relation to, remember I kept on saying in the Susan Denham letter that Dáil Éireann has never ratified the EEC accession treaty, or the EU accession treaty.
And did you say that to him? Money.
And Sutherland now is trying to come out and try to defend that.
And did you say that to Sean Crossan?
No.
Okay.
I didn't say anything like that to him.
Well, I mean, we're still going to have one of the guys.
In other words, that the Irish were snubbed and they weren't invited, and they should be invited, and they should have been informed that if you're having a conference on 1916.
Well, if they were having a conference on the American Revolution, don't you think they'd invite Obama?
Well, I think they would. Or at least I said to her, and I said about the Queen when she came here, and she laid the wreath in the garden. I said she had to get permission from the Irish Republic, which she duly and dutifully did. And was so grateful to get it from the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And I remember you said yesterday, I said about, you know, all these prisoners, Republican prisoners and all these people. But the only thing about it was, you know, no Republican, they all, you know, they honoured that they didn't fire a shot at her or bomb her or do anything, you know, and they left it go. So, you know, although we're all betrayed in the end, but I mean, at least they didn't betray on that occasion, you know.
Yep.
I don't think that would ever happen again because of the situation. But these things happen and they take funny turns in that, you know. But I'm very disappointed that at least they could have the manners to an organisation like that in Galway University. And it's a big day there until next Saturday. You know, that at least say, well, we got permission from the Irish Republican Brotherhood, or we consulted them or something or other. But to go off and do it yourself and fuck them, you know, that's the attitude now.
Yeah.
And led by Michael D. Higgins and led by Enda Kenny and those.
Well, this is it. Look, once it has a European source, we know. Well, I mean, it's not just a European source. It's part of the whole agenda, Billy. I mean, there's a clear agenda.
It is.
Now, as I said...
And who's losing out? You and your children are losing out, and that's what it's about.
Exactly.
And some people are going to get make fortunes out of it for themselves.
Well, though, in fairness, the fact that we've emailed them, that they've been emailed, and they're now on the back foot.
Well done, you. You're on the ball.
So, you know, I'm just going to check the other websites here now to see if there's any more. Chris Fogarty responded to it on your site on billymaguire.com. He responded to your email. But more people need to start making phone calls about this particular issue. It's
I think that's, that could be a start. And you don't have any members down there on Galway, do you?
I do. Oh, we do. Oh, no, there's fellas going. We have fellas going.
Oh, you have fellas going?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, should, can't they ask why is...
Oh, they will be. Oh, they'll be asking. And the beauty of this is...
And they can go to...
Well, I've told them not to attend the event as such. Just, I said, look, just hover around and ask the people questions as they come and go.
Yeah. And Galway, they'll be all there. The Galway Radio there. The Connacht Tribune, I could ask them. Galway Bay Radio. They'll be there anyway, they told me.
Right.
But I said it's an invitation. And they'll be on that. That'll be on their program tomorrow. But
well, then I think we should be ready to make some phone calls to Galway Bay Radio tomorrow. So probably an idea if before we make any calls, if you call me and I'll call them from here and I'll connect you.
Right. Well, Galway Bay is Galway Bay FM radio station, and it's 091 77. And 0004 0 7740, and the person I spoke to was Finola.
Sorry, so it's 091.
What?
091 77 0000.
That's it.
Okay.
And Keith is the person. I think it's his program in the morning. Keith, and Finola is the person, the researcher. And I mean, all you have to do when I said Billy Maguire, oh Billy, she's put it. She has all that up on her, you know, on her website or something or other, you know. BillyMaguire.com that she got from you.
Yeah.
She told me. So she's ahead of you. And, but I said, you know, that, you know, we were, well, I didn't say we're snob, because at that stage I didn't really know. You know, I thought he might come back and say, look, would you please come up tomorrow? Because the university kept on saying to me, that one, Helena, was the secretary of the history department. She said, you know, it's very strange that the Irish Republican Brother hasn't been, and that Alan Hearn, Dr. Alan Hearn, who's giving a paper on Friday, they all said, you know, at that stage I didn't know whether they was would have said to me, look, I only got that call now from Sean Crossan at their lunchtime just before I rang you, and he said he didn't say it to come. And he, you know, he was sort of, he didn't know what to say. So I didn't volunteer. And as you say, it is probably, we can make more out of it by not going. Or not by being nice.
Well, that's why, well, the lads I have gone, they'll hover around and they'll just ask people some very simple questions. And their ignorance to the answer will actually be more telling than anything else.
And I think those politicians, I mean, they should be asked, when and where was the state founded? And who founded the state? I think that would be, and I said that to Sean Cross, and he didn't know. You know, these are crucial.
Well, they all talk about the state. Which state? What state are they talking about?
Oh, the whole bloody thing is, you know, you get sick of it. But anyway, that's, you're up to date now in what's going on. And... yeah, it's sad, really, isn't it?
It's absolute. I can't even describe, Billy, how this makes me feel.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's you know, it's at so many different layers and levels. How I feel about it, it's very hard to describe.
It is horrible, you know. And they don't want us to know. And I spoke to that Joan McGuire. Do you remember you gave me, she sent an email. I spoke to her for a long time. She's a great friend of yours too, and getting stronger and stronger. Eden Derry, I think she told me she lives on the borders of Kildare and whatever it is. Anyway, do you remember you said to me there was a call and you gave me her number and I rang her?
Yeah.
Nice. But you are getting out there. I'm amazed the number of
people. Yeah, Chris Fogarty responded, may the meeting be well attended so the public can become informed about essential Irish history. A return to the true Irish constitution would eliminate much of the debt and injustice imposed on the people. That was from Chris Fogarty. That was the response. He just typed up a response on your website.
Right.
No, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to inform everybody on the site that this is happening and that it is crucial that it's attended. Even if they can't attend, it's crucial they actually go there and try to interact with the people and say, don't you realise you've been told lies?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, there was no invitation to the press. To the Irish Republic, you didn't even have to say the president, to the Irish Republican Brotherhood. There was no invitation extended to it, or no permission was sought or asked for to speak on their 1916 rising.
Yeah, I mean, how dare they?
Huh?
How dare they?
Well, you know, copyright and all that sort of stuff. If you stepped out of line, would you get hit in the head?
Exactly.
Now, they can do what they like, and no one says a word. And I have a funny feeling you'll find the Áras and Endicenny, the Oireachtas behind all this, because they spend millions every year on propaganda, and to me that's what it is, and you know, airbrushing out, oh well, they don't count, you know, and all this thing, they don't exist, and all this sort of stuff. I think that's what really is behind it. We have to take over. And we have to do it for them. They're not able to do anything themselves, sort of thing, you know. Only for us, you know, we borrowed all this money, and, you know, and all this sort of stuff, you know. We keep the flag flying. And they lose the fiscal sovereignty. Very proud.
Well, as Harry always said,
it's
the only game in town.
Well, I agree with you, sovereignty. But anyway, don't let it go, Vincent.
No, I'm out.
So if you want me to do anything, I'll be around.
Yeah, I might ring you back in a while. Yeah. Or is there anybody else you're thinking of phoning yourself directly?
Well, I was going to call a paper or two.
Well, then call me and give me the numbers and I'll call them and I'll connect you. You'll be able to talk to them and I'll be here so I can record it. No harm to have it, even just as a historical.
Well, will I ring Liam Collins? I don't know whether he's there or not. In the Sunday Independent.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get them all. I'll ring them from here. All I need to know is the numbers, and I can connect you.
Well,
they won't even know I'm on the line.
All right, 01.
Okay, hold on.
Liam Collins is Sunday Independent.
Yep.
01. 705-5695.
Okay. So hang up this phone here and I'll call you back in 2 seconds.